All right, we're starting right now from the Mishnah on Daf Lamed Aleph Mabei. Says the Gemara, says the Mishnah. Amar Rabbi Shuv ben Korcha ve'od zos hiskin Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. Yochanan ben Zakkai made another takana. We mentioned a number of them already. We're going to see another one right now. Shafilu rosh beis din b'chol makom. No matter wherever the rosh beis din, if he's out of the place of the beis din. How you doing, Dad? Good to see you over here. See the boys. We're together finally.
Tate.
Okay. Anyways, if the here's your feel. If the Rosh Beis Din is not in his proper spot, again, Lamed Aleph Mabeis, so you Eidim Holchim El Makom Avad. The Eidim still don't, they don't follow the Rosh Beis Din. They go to wherever the Makom Avad is, wherever the Beis Din is supposed to be found. That's where they're going to be heading to. So they don't follow the Rosh Beis Din. If he leaves for some reason his post and he goes somewhere else, they still go to the proper spot, the meeting point, and they do their Eidus over there. The Gemara now tells a story that seems to go against us. He Yisisa, Das Menua Ladina Kameid Amemar Ben Ardai. There was a lady, Asmanua, who was invited, she was summoned to a Beis Din in front of a Amemar in a place called Nahar Dayas, where the Beis Din was found. Now, Amemar himself went out of the Beis Din. Azal Amemar l'machuza. He went to a place called Machuza. He didn't stay in Nahar Day. Lo Azal Basrei, and she did not follow him. She didn't go again. She was supposed to see a court case in front of him. He left the area, and she didn't come to his new location to the court. Kasa psicha ilava. He wrote about her a cherim. He excommunicated her for not following him to the Beis Din that he relocated to. I'm going to Rav Asher, Rav Asher to Amemar. V'anan Tanah, we learned a Mishnah, we just quoted above. Afilu Rosh Beis Din b'chol makom, shol yu ha'edim holchen elam makom avad. We said before that no matter where the Rosh Beis Din does, it doesn't matter. The court case, where the Beis Din sits, is what defines where the woman or where the person should be going for the court case. So why are you excommunicating her when she did what she's supposed to do? She went to the location you were supposed to be in, and she didn't follow you to your new location. Why are you giving her a hard time? Why are you putting her in cherim and excommunicating her? The only time we say this halacha that you're supposed to go to the base makom avad and not to the Rosh Beis Din, that's for Eidus HaChodesh. That's when it comes to testifying about the new moon that we've been discussing for the last number of weeks. The imkain, because if you don't make it so easy to get to and you make them follow the Rosh Beis Din, you're going to make them stumble. Machshil, to stumble in the future. How? This is not going to go. It's not worth their while if you're going to make them travel and follow you around. They're going to stop doing it altogether. So therefore, there we say, the location you know to go to, that's where you should plan to go to. Don't follow the Ab Basin of Al-Hacha. But in our case over here, it wasn't the case of Eidus HaChodesh. The lady had borrowed money. And the rule is, Eved Lova Leish Malveh, the borrower is like an Eved to the lender. And therefore, you don't get to pick where you go. You have to follow wherever, even if it's inconvenient for you, you have to go to the person who's the Malveh, the loaner, the lender. And that's where Amemar was heading to the place of Achuza, where the lender was going to be meeting them. And therefore, she had no right not to follow suit. She's an Eved. She's an Eved to the lender. Okay. The Gemara now discuss a little bit more about this. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai is Takanas. Tarabanan ain kohanim rashayin lalos b'san tadalehem b'duchen. If you remember, we did this in Sota together, actually. Kohanim are not allowed to wear their sandals when they do brichas kohanim. Zu echa mitesha takanos shizkir Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. This is one of the nine takanos Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai is known for having decreed. Now, the reason why, if you remember, we mentioned last time, anyone remember last time we mentioned what it was? That's right, we talked about last time. It's because we're afraid that if his strap breaks and he's going to go tie his shoe, he's not going to go up to the Berachas Kohanim when everyone else is going up. They're going to think he's a halal or something that those to that occasion. Okay, Tez Gemara again, that's one of the nine takanos that Yochanan ben Zakkai was misaking. She's the high pirka. There are six in our parak. Rashi enumerates them for us with the six R to remind you what they were again. That number one, that your tokeya shofar on Shabbos, even out when the mikdash was destroyed outside of the base mikdash area, and the lulav we said was taken all 7 days when the mikdash was destroyed after the base mikdash area, and the yom henef, the day of the 16th of Nisan, the whole day is also from eating the new grains. I'm just reading Rashi who discusses all these, and your makabel edim the entire day for kiddush hachodesh. And that Adam should only go to the Makom Avad we quoted above. And now over here as well is the sixth one we just quoted, which is that a Kohen should not travel when it comes to the Kohen should not go up in Duchen when he is wearing his sandals. Okay, says the Gemara further. V'chad de Pirka Kama, another one of the, we have a seventh one that Rabbi Zakkai was misaking in the first parak regarding when he should be Mechal Shabbos, for which months of Eidus on the Chodesh should be Mechal Shabbos. We mentioned before the Nisan and Tishrei only. Yochanan ben Zakkai is Takana. Back in the day, they used to do it all the time for every month, but after this, it was destroyed only Nisan and Tishrei for the holiday season, the need to know when the holidays are. V'idach, And another one that we have is the Tani. We learn a Brisa Gershon is Gair Bizman Hazeh, Tzarech She Yafrish Rova Likino. A Ger who converts nowadays has to set aside a Rova, a quarter of a certain amount of money, a Rova of a shekel, a quarter of a shekel, for the purpose of his a bird offering. Over here, Rashi explains that when we were originally at Har Sinai, we all became quote unquote converts. So there was an idea of getting milah, of tzvila, of going to the mikvah, of being purified, as well as offering a korban with sprinkling of blood, and also having ourselves become purified by also sprinkling of blood upon us. And therefore, we should right now designate, when a person converts, you should designate money to buy a bird offering. So when this minister comes right now, we can quickly offer it, and we can be part of the process of milah, tzvila, and the sprinkling of the blood on the person with his bird offering. Right. That's what we should be doing. Yeah.
How do they offer a korban?
Who? Nowadays, I mean, at this point in time. So the Gemara quotes over here. The Gemara quotes. Let's looking for you over here. Yeah, the Rashi over here quotes a pasuk. We kach adam v'yizrok. So again, they offer korbanos in the offered korbanos in the time of the before the mizbeach, before we had the base of mikdash in the midbar as well. So even nowadays, he says you're not going to be able to offer anything, but you should designate the money. So when it comes, you already have it. Just bring your wild there and give your offering, and then you can be completely accepted in every possible way for the gerus.
Do they offer every korban
certain ones they offer, and we'll see some examples of it actually pretty soon. The Gemara says, however, Amar Lamazar, Rabbi Yochanan Zaka already voted, and among other people as well. He wasn't the only one, but they voted Ubidla, and they did away with his practice. They did away with his practice. They said, no longer should we set aside money. The reason why, Nehatakala, that would cause a future stumbling block. How? Because if you think about it, what's going to happen is you're going to have hektish money sitting in your home. You're going to wait for this money to be built. And one time your kid's going to come and look for some cash in your purse, in your wallet, and grab out your money. Not know what's what. It's going to create takala. It's going to create mess-ups if you have a hektish designated item, and you're not going to spend it anytime soon because, unfortunately, it's not here yet. So it could, God forbid, become mixed up with other money and become used for chulin.
I think
because if you want to, hektish is more than stucca. Hektish is. So I'll tell you, when we have people come to the door, we take a stucca box. We give people. So stucca box is there to kind of get stuck and to give people money who come to the door sometimes. So I mean, there's very few things you have in your house that's designated for something like this, because we don't do this, unfortunately, because we're not thinking this way. But you could think of some way, but it's the risk is worse than the reward. If you make a mistake in it, then you've taken something hektish and you've used it inappropriately. Yeah, Dan. For sure, but not one. I mean, if you want to put pack a bag, pack
that's
a bag.
Saying, bag.
Yeah, beautiful, pack a bag. But if you designate money for hektish, then you create a possible pitfall where you're going to end up actually by accident using it for the wrong reasons, and that could be very tragic. Correct, but here's, if you set aside the money here, you set aside to give a korban, which makes it basically hektish, is the point. Okay. Back in the Gemara. Says the Gemara, that was another one we had. That was the eighth takana. And here's the ninth one is a machlokas, actually. V'idach, the last one, the other one, the last takana, Rebbe Chaim that he's quoted, he's known for giving, is a plukta de Rapapa of Rav Nachman Yitzchak. The Rapapa of Rav Nachman Yitzchak argue what was the ninth one. Rapapa Amar Kerem Revai, things related to a vineyard in its fourth year, when after Orla, you can't eat it for the first 3 years. The fourth year, now you're allowed to enjoy it, but you have to treat it in a certain respect. To eat it in Yerushalayim, and if you can't eat Yerushalayim, you should redeem it. And then take the money in Yerushalayim and spend money on food and eat that food in Yerushalayim. So there's rules to it, but the rule, we'll see in a minute what Kerem Revai is, but that was Reuven Zakkai's decree about Kerem Revai. Nachman Yitzchak says, Lashon Shel Zahoris. It was a woolen red string, a red string of wool that we'll see in a minute what happened with it, and that was Reuven Zakkai made his takana. Let's see each one of them right now. Repapa Amar Kerem Revai. What was the Kerem Revai takana Reuven Zakkai made? Now we're in a Mishnah. Kerem Revai Ha'ol Yerushalayim Mahalech Yom Lechot Sar. In the Kerem Revai, the rule was this: you're allowed to redeem it unless you were close enough where you could go to Yerushalayim within a day. If I could walk to Yerushalayim within a day, I can get there within a day, then that would be considered an area where I should no longer be redeeming the Kerem Revai. I should now bring it myself to Yerushalayim. Once again, when it was far away from Yerushalayim, then you are allowed to redeem it and then take the money and go to Yerushalayim and buy food there and eat it there. But if you were within a certain proximity to Yerushalayim, you're within a day. So Reuven Zakkai decreed, or I shouldn't say there was a decree, there was a din that you should, within a day's to Yerushalayim, you should be able to take it yourself and travel to Yerushalayim and not redeem it on money, but rather take the food there yourself. It was mahalach yom lechotzad. Vezuhi tchuma, and this is the borders that would have fit in this category. Now, the place we're using right now are not the place that we know and love today. Like the word Eilat, it's not the Eilat that we know of, because it's very, very far, much further than a day's travel. I mean, it is with a car, but not back in the day. It says the Gemara, Eilat min ha-darom. It's changed from Tzafon to Darom. Eilat from the south. Akravat from the Darom changed to Tzafon from the north. Lud, which is one of my sons in Yeshiva right now. Lud from the west. And the Yarden, Jordan River, from the east. Those are the areas that if you're in those locations within that bubble, within that perimeter, then you should be taking the food to Yerushalayim and eating it there and not redeeming it. Vamar Ula, Vitem Rav Bar Ula, Am Rabbi Yochanan, and Ula, and some say it was Rav Bar Ula, and Rabbi Yochanan said, Matam, what's the reason why we were insistent that you shouldn't redeem it, rather take the food there itself? We want to crown the stores of Yerushalayim with beautiful fruits. Meaning if you ever went to Machane Yehuda, I'm sure you all have, but if you ever went to Machane Yehuda while you were sober, just kidding, so you see that the shuk is full of unbelievable, like delicious looking fruits. So it's a beautiful thing. You walk around, you see people selling these beautiful fresh dates and fresh pomegranates. It looks very, very, very pretty. So it was mechubad. It was covered for Yerushalayim that everyone should see such a thing. And therefore, we don't want you redeeming it. We want you to actually bring your food there, bring your fruits there, so that the streets can be spilling with food. All not spilling literally, but spilling figuratively, overflow of fruits that are found in Yerushalayim. Now that was the din. Batanya was taught Karim Ravai Halal Rebbe Eliezer Mizrach Lud, Bitzad Kfar Tevi. Rebbe Eliezer had a Karim Ravai, a field of Karim, a vineyard that was in its fourth year, and it was in the eastern part of Lod, which means it was in the area closer to Yerushalayim. He was in the perimeter. He was in the perimeter area where he should have brought his food to Yerushalayim. In the place called the side of Kfar Tevi, and he decided, you know what, I can't do it. It's too big a shot for me. I'm going to make it ownerless. Let the Aniyim take it. Let them bring it to Yerushalayim. Let them eat my food in Yerushalayim. I just can't do it. It's too much of a step for me right now. Now, when the students heard that, Amru lo, Talmidov, his students said to him, Rebbe, Kfar Nimnu Chaverecha Alav, V'yitiru, your Chaverim, your friends have already voted on this topic, and they've allowed everyone. They've changed the rule around. Because the Yerushalayim is not around anymore, was destroyed. There's no longer this idea of trying to make the streets of Yerushalayim overflowing with fruit. That was as a cover for Yerushalayim in its glory state. The base of Mikdash around. But that's not the case anymore in Yochanan ben Zakkai's time. They've permitted you to eat it, or to redeem it, I should say, and not, you don't have to leave it for the Aniyim. You're allowed to keep yourself and just redeem it. The Gemara says, Man Chavirecha, who were the friends that we're referring to? Yochanan ben Zakkai. That's the ninth one. He said in the end that you don't need anymore, if you're within a day's walk, you can still redeem it. There's no base of Mikdash. There's no reason to have the streets overflowing with fruit. That's a thing of the past, unfortunately. That was according to the opinion of Rav Papa. Question? Yes, right over here. Says the Gemara further. Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak Amar Lashon Shel Zohoris. Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak argued. He said that wasn't the story of Yochanan ben Zakkai. Here's the story. It had to do with a woolen red string. Time in a brisa. Bar Rishona Hayu Koshrin Lashon Shel Zohoris Al Pesach Ulam Yibachutz. It used to be that the base of Mikdash was around. They would tie this red string on the external part of the outside of the ulam, by the base of Mikdash area, right outside of the ulam, and everyone would be able to watch. What would happen if this red string is done in Yom Kippur, when they would send the Seer Lazazel down, they throw him down the mountain? What would happen? Hil bin, hopefully it would turn white. And then we'd know that turned white, that was a sign that they were forgiven. Hayu smechin. Lo hil bin, if it wouldn't turn white, it would stay red. Hayu atzavin, they would be very depressed. They would be upset. They realized they were not forgiven. So once people started to look and to see it, and their whole day would either be, they'd be like so relieved, or they'd be so depressed. They don't want that anymore. So Hiskiru Chazal were talking. Shu Koshkin Asur Al Pesach Ulam Mibifnim. Don't do it on the outside where everyone's watching. Do it on the inside where people can still see, but it's really not to the public as much, so that no one's really just trying to get a glimpse at it. Because after all, it could be a depressing thing if you see tefillahs don't seem to be answered. You might give up. We don't want you giving up. And even if they were answered, to turn white, maybe be like, oh, I got it already. You know, game over, and you would stop working hard on Yom Kippur. So they put it in more of a private or more private area, so it wouldn't be like the focus of the day. So he put on the Pesach Ulam Bibifnim on the inside of the opening of the Ulam to the base of Mikdash area. V'adayin hayu matzitzin v'roin, and they would still peer, they would still peek and look. Hil bin again, if it turned white, hayu smechin, lo hil bin hayu atzavin, didn't really solve the problem. Okay, it made it harder to see, but they would still make their day or have their day ruined based upon what they would see in this string. So his kinu shiyu koshin also. So there was a tikkun that was made and we'll see who made that kind of very soon. But they would tie the string, half of it to a rock near the, where they threw the animal down the mountain, and half between the horns of this animal they threw down the mountain. And that was a takana Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai made. That was the ninth one, according to the opinion of Rabbi Nachman Bar Yitzchak. Now, the Gemara's going to discuss each one. Why is each one not like the other person? Yeah.
Why are we so worried? Don't we want them to be worried?
Well, not worried, but not depressed. We want them to be like dependent on. But imagine if they turned white, you'd be like, "Did it? Game over." And you would kind of like, you know, you'd stop pushing hard. And if it didn't turn white, you'd be like, "That's it. Like, you know, the guy's not listening to us. What's the point anymore?" So again, some people might be like, you know, when someone's giving the diagram as a sentence, the doctor says you're not going to make it. So most people's reaction is like, "That's it. Like, you know, let me say my final goodbyes, and that's it." Some people might be like, "You know what? I don't care what the doctor says. Because Baruch Hu's in charge, and you fight, you dive in." So when Kaddish Baruch Hu himself turns you down, so it could be like, "What am I going to do? It's over." So not that you should, but it could be the cause of people were doing that. So they were attacking. The longer should be the focal point of Yom Kippur. Okay. Now, why did each opinion not feel the other one was right, that was Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai's takana? So first, Rabbi Nachman Bar Yitzchak. He's the one, again, who said that it was based on the Lashon Shel Zohar, this wool, red wool string. My time with Omar Kira Papa. How come he didn't appreciate the Karim Revai? Why do you think that Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai was the one? Why didn't you think he was the one who made that takana that when the basement was destroyed, you can now redeem your Karim Revai even within a day's walk to Yerushalayim and you spend the money on food in Yerushalayim and eat it there? You can be allowed to redeem it even if it's so close. Why do you assume it wasn't Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai? If Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai was the one who made that takana, Rabbi Lezer mihava, Rabbo hava. If you remember what happened, Rabbi Lezer was making the neat, letting the neem eat it, and his student said, your friends have already, you know, voted and done away with that decree. Yochanan Zakkai was his friend? Who's his rabbi? You can't call him his friend. The fact that they said your friends means it couldn't be Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai who was the one who enacted the gzera that no longer do you have to bring it, and now you can redeem it instead. V'idach, and knew what is Republican going to say, that's a good point. He's not a friend, he's a rabbi. V'idach, came and tell me them havu, this unbelievable line of respect, who was talking to him was his students. Lav orich ara l'meim relay l'rabbe rabach. It's not derech eretz to tell your rebbe, hey rebbe, your rebbe says something to you. It's like you're putting him, even though it's true, he has a rebbe, but you're kind of putting him down, quote unquote. Say your friend, your peer, your fellow, rav, whatever it is. But to say your rebbe, when you say to someone else, your rebbe, it's like you're putting him a little bit down. And therefore, that's why they said to him, Chaverov. And that's why it really was Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai. And it's true he was the Rav of Rabbi Lezer. But nevertheless, the Talmidim didn't want to say that Lashon to their own Rabbi, that your Rabbi said the following thing. Question? Is my question?
Why is
that? It's not really chutzpah that you're asking me.
I'm saying say the Rosh Hashiva's Rabbi, but Talmidim or whoever. I'm saying that's not why that.
But I guess if someone here would be like, your Rabbi is here to see you. You know, when you say to your Rebbe, like, your Rebbe's here to see you.
I've also was in a certain content that, like, you say your Rebbe says something else. And you're telling us.
But you say, if you say it's your friends, then it would be better?
Yeah.
Yeah? Okay, maybe.
I feel like I feel like Rosh Hashiva would get offended for the Rav, you know?
Because you say, because it comes to my, you're right. So yeah. Rosh Hashiva's job is to get offended for that. But your job is to be sensitive to Rosh Hashiva. I mean, you're right. Every person, it's a beautiful idea. I said this to my guys recently. We're doing Maseches Pesachim this year, right? We're talking Maseches Pesachim. So if you'll notice, if you look in the Chumash, a little hiatus, but just a beautiful idea, a similar idea we're talking about right now. If you look in the Chumash, it doesn't call Pesach. What does it call it? How do we refer to the holiday? Hagamatzos. But why is it called Pesach? Why does the Torah call one thing we call something else? So I saw this beautiful idea. The Tosfos Chadashim is the Mishnah. He brings it down. I don't remember who he quotes, but he has a beautiful idea. So it depends on perspective, meaning, for Kadosh Baruch Hu, when he calls the holiday, he calls it Chag HaMatzos. Why? Because we did something special. We trusted in Hashem. We put this you know, stuff on our back, and we believed in Him. And therefore, Hashem wants to refer to the holiday based upon what makes Him think about us in a positive light. And we want to think about Kadosh Baruch Hu in a positive light. For us, Matzos isn't what makes us think. Pesach, He hit over our houses. So each person, each perspective is about, how do I find more love about the person opposite me in the name? We have it also, it comes to the Maseches Baruch Hu, brings us down. That when Hashem, we say, what's in Hashem's tefillin? Right? It doesn't say Shema Yisrael, Shema Kedem, Shema Chayim. It says Mika Amcha Yisrael. I mean, we wear things in our tefillin that remind us of how great Hashem is. And He wears things, quote unquote, whatever that means, that remind us how great we are. So Pesach, so same thing over here. You're right. It's the job maybe of the Rav to be like, no, it's my Rebbe. But the job of the Talmud to be like, no, but you're my Rebbe, and I don't want to talk that way in front of you. So it could be both those, like, kind of that duality going. Anyways, that was a nice shot. The Matzah Chametz thing. No, it's a nice idea. Okay, back in the Gemara. So that's the reason why Rav Papa stuck to his guns, even though he's not really a friend. But anyways, he might be referred to as a friend because otherwise, you know, he would be called, tell your Rebbe that his Rebbe's there. It's kind of like one, you know, one-upping him, even if that's not what you meant. And we don't want to be doing that. Okay, a little further, and then we'll let you guys go a little earlier because I know we have calls to make and family to speak to. Says the Gemara. Rav Papa, how about Rav Papa? My time, lo amar, Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak. How come he didn't follow Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak's sheet to that? Rav Mitzake was the one who made it to Kana regarding the red wool string. Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai is the one who made this takana that you should hide the string. One second, can't be. Why? Let's figure out a little bit of the chronology and the dates. Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai, mihav lashon shel zahoris. Was there even an effective red string going on at that point in time? The red string was basically lost its purpose at that point in time. How do we know? That's how we learn a brayse about Tanya. Kol shnosav shel Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai may have esher shana. Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai lived for 120 years. We're told, long time. Mem shana asa b'pragmatia. 40 years of his life. He was in business. Mem Shana Lamad, he learned Torah for 40 years afterwards, till the age of 80. Mem Shana Limed, and 40 years he was a Rebbe. He was like the Rav of the Jewish people. He became the Rav. Now, he Mistama was only making takanas the last 4 years of his life, last 40 years, right? Listen to the following thing, though. We learned about it. Mem Shana Kodam Shanichra based in Habayis. 4 years before the Ismail was destroyed, 4 years beforehand. Lohaya Lashon Shel Zahoris Malbin. Never one time in those 40 years did the string turn white, it always was red. Never turned white in those 40 years, which means Yochanan ben Zakkai, who we know lived for sure when? After the Churban, because he was making decrees about the Churban, which means that his time period when he was already making decrees at the stage to make decrees as he was being made to the Jewish people, there was never a time when the string ever turned white. What did he describe? What was described in the Takana? Sometimes it will be white and you'll be happy. Sometimes you won't be happy, but he never would have been able to say that because in his period, it would never turn white at all. So how could it possibly be he's the one who made it to Kana like that? Yeah, right on.
How could he be in business for the first 10 years of his life?
40 years.
No, I'm saying like how...
Oh, it wasn't mean the first 40 years? Meaning he was in school like a regular guy, going to getting a job, you know, going through the schooling system, whatever that would mean. I mean, he was on that track for 40 years. He switched over to become a learner for 40 years, and he became a Rebbe. Became a Rebbe for Klal Yisrael for the last 40 years.
He was like the last
of the Tanakh. Well, the mission was destroyed. People were still around. Rabbi Kiba, you know, Nicham Tani, right? Rabbi Kiba was around afterwards. There were people who were still around, but it was certainly, there was a lot of them who lived before him as well, but there was a period lived afterwards. It's a nice amount lived afterwards as well. Okay. Says the Gemara as follows. Elamadim, it never was white, it always was red. Vitzna, within the Mishnah, we've said this Mishnah beforehand. Vishkar Vesemikta, Abayas, Hitzkir Yochim and Zakkai, which means he was making takanas, the Mishnah was destroyed already, which means that his entire life of being a Rav, there was never a time when the string turned white. So therefore, when the takana was made, It sometimes they were happy when it was white. He can't make it to Kana like that. He never would have seen the whiteness of that string. So that's Akasha. How could he have been the one who made that decree? Says Gemara, the Idach, and the one who says, no, that was the one, the Nachman Yitzchak, who says, Rav Yochanan Zakkai made that decree. He says, Osam Arba'im Shana, the Lamad, Tav Yoshef Nei Rabo Hava. Those 40 years, when he was learning in front of his great Rebbeim. He was a Talmud Nei Rabo. And he had an idea. Maybe it was towards the end of his learning career before he became a Rebbe. He was 70 years old, 70. And whatever it was, 65, he's learning for a long time already. And he says to his Rebbeim, I don't understand. This is not the way we want this holiday to be working right now. Why not make a decree? And they listened to him, says the Gemara. Lamar Milsa, he said over in front of his Rebbe, and this Dabar Tamei, and his logic was good. He made sense. The Kavei Rebbe, Bishmei, so his Rebbe, who was in this position of being a leader, and not him yet, he gave over this din in his name. He said his name over here. This is a good idea. And Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai is the one who made this, even though he was still a kid at the time. But his idea was a great idea, and they were mekabel this din, and that's how he became known in his name. Even though it's true, it was not the time when he was yet a rav, at least a rebbe like that. But because he was in a position of power at that point in time, he was able to make such a suggestion, and it was accepted. Stop over here. Again, just a little clarity regarding our plans. One second.